Blessed are you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have revealed to little ones the mysteries of the kingdom. These words of today's gospel acclamation are a paraphrase of words spoken by the Lord Jesus in chapter 11 of St. Matthew's Gospel, words in which he thanks his heavenly Father for the gracious design of revealing the eternal plan of salvation, not to those with great knowledge, but to those with profound humility. But exactly what are these mysteries of the kingdom of which the Lord speaks? When used in Holy Scripture, the word mystery signifies something known by God from all eternity and then gradually revealed by him to the human race. But not all men are prepared or able to receive such knowledge by divine revelation, usually because of intellectual vanity, spiritual hubris, or slavery to sin. And that is one reason why the Lord Jesus so often expressed his teaching in parables. We heard the Savior explain this reason in the Gospel two Sundays ago. In chapter 13 of St. Matthew, we read that the disciples approached Jesus and asked, "Why do you speak to the crowds in parables?" He answered them, "Because knowledge of the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven has been granted to you, but to them it has not been granted. This is why I speak to them in parables, because they look, but do not see, and hear, but do not listen or understand." Remember that by the beginning of chapter 11 of Matthew's Gospel, the Lord Jesus was already meeting fierce opposition to his teaching. And those who stood against him did so in part because they were certain, they thought, that they knew better than he did what God planned for Israel. Despite their great learning, those who opposed Jesus looked, but did not see, and heard, but did not understand. And in this gap between knowledge and wisdom, we find one of the deepest wounds in human nature, a wound inherited at conception by every human person. Because of man's fall from grace, we are tempted to think that whatever we want is good, and that whatever we believe is true, simply because we want it or believe it. That is what the father of lies promised Eve as the fruit of her rebellion against God's plan for human life. "Your eyes will be opened," the serpent told her, "and you will be like God, knowing good and evil," by which he meant that we would be able to make things good and true by wanting them, and declare them to be evil and false simply by not wanting them. But that was a deadly lie, and our fall from grace was sealed in the disobedience of the first man and his wife, disobedience to God's plan for humanity. But the healing of that primordial wound began as soon as it was inflicted, and in the long ages between our exile and the coming of the Savior, God prepared the world for the full and final revelation of his paschal mystery, the eternal plan of salvation. And among those chosen by God as instruments of his revelation was Solomon, son of David, an anointed king of Israel. Solomon prayed, "O Lord, give your servant an understanding heart to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil." And so he was given wisdom to see and understand. And here we find the answer to the serpent's lie. We cannot and do not make things good or true by desiring them. Instead, we learn what is good and true when and if we allow ourselves to be taught by the designer and maker of all things. As Proverbs has it, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." Solomon prayed for an understanding heart, and he received the gift of wisdom because he placed himself among the little ones to whom is given knowledge of the mysteries of the kingdom. And that is precisely what we must do if we are to be true disciples of the Lord Jesus. Chapter 13 of St. Matthew's Gospel contains 8 different parables of the kingdom of heaven, each one revealing a different facet of the infinite riches of God's glory. In today's text, Jesus likens the kingdom to a buried treasure and to a pearl of great price. And the response from us must be like that of the treasure hunter and the merchant. We must sacrifice everything for the kingdom and prefer God's glory above all else in our lives. This is why authentic Christian discipleship requires radical conversion, and why it is not possible to be a part-time Christian. There is no place in the kingdom for anything contrary to the Father's eternal plan, which is why the unworthy catch in the net is thrown away, and why the angels will go out and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. Friends, these are not comfortable words, but they are true words. Words spoken by the Word made flesh, who is the way, the truth, and the life. This sober warning about the possibility of damnation is also among the mysteries of the kingdom revealed to little ones, and we should hear and heed this warning. But what about those who will not heed the warning? The simple truth is that most of us spend a good portion of our lives engaged in an adolescent tantrum at God. We falsely believe that our existence is a contest of wills, and that if His will prevails, we lose. But that view of life is false, because God's eternal plan for our lives comes not from His will, but from His reason, His eternal logos, or word, the word by whom and for whom we were made. And when we come to know, embrace, and understand God's eternal reason or word, then for the first time we find authentic human freedom and the interior tranquility of order. Because then we know the logic, the purpose of our existence, which is to participate in God's boundless glory, world without end. But what about those who cling to their sins? Those who hear the gospel, but who will not accept it. Like petulant children who chafe under parental authority, they seek to justify their sins by an appeal to a higher justice, or a purer love, or the search for ever elusive freedom and happiness. And all of that is contained in the serpent's lie about us becoming like God, if only we will assert ourselves. If you listen carefully, you can almost hear the juvenile whine in every sin, which is none other than a rant against God's plan. I'll lie, cheat, steal, fornicate, abort babies, abuse drugs and alcohol, misuse my freedom, and worship false gods if I want to, and you can't stop me. But my friends, that way of life leads only to sadness, and to self-absorption, and to ruination, because true freedom and happiness are found only in God's grace, only in a life of virtue, only in the truth of the mysteries of the kingdom. And to learn of those mysteries, we must first place ourselves among the little ones who will allow themselves to be taught, and who will ask for the gift of an understanding heart. But divine mysteries, while a manifestation of the eternal word, are not revealed only in words. In the Western Church, we speak of the 7 sacraments, but in the Christian East, the same 7 instruments of grace are called the sacred mysteries, because these acts of worship reveal the Lord Jesus to the eyes of faith. And remember, a mystery is something known by God and gradually revealed to us. This meaning of the sacraments of mysteries is found also in our liturgy. Today, for example, the prayer over the offerings asks that these most sacred mysteries may sanctify our present way of life and lead us to eternal gladness. And the penitential rite at every Mass begins with these words: Brethren, let us acknowledge our sins and so prepare ourselves to celebrate the sacred mysteries. But do we truly seek Christ in his mysteries? Or do we look and not see? Do we truly heed the gospel as God's eternal word? Or do we hear and not understand? How many Catholics approach the sacred mysteries with understanding hearts, and how many without? If we will not call our sins sins, then we have been deceived by the serpent's lie rather than enlightened by Solomon's example of the obedience of faith. And if we will not repent of our sins and believe in the gospel, then receiving the sacraments will not lead us to deeper knowledge of the mysteries of the kingdom. And if we remain impenitent, then we are on the path to everlasting separation from the living God. And so today the Lord Jesus asks us, as he asked the 12 at the end of his parables, do you understand all these things? Blessed are you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have revealed to little ones the mysteries of the kingdom. My friends, let us seek the gift of understanding hearts from the God of eternal glory, who revealed himself to Solomon and granted him wisdom, not because he was king, but because in humility he surrendered his intellect and his will to the truth of God's eternal reason and word, the word whom we now know and adore as the Word made flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ.